You look ridiculously happy this morning, Jen said. I love morning sex, Kate replied. Shut up, Jen said. You and your morning sex smugness. Why don't you go back upstairs and have more of your damn morning sex if it's so great? Kate considered. Well, I could, but Jackson's gone to work, so it would be awkward. Kate, 5'6", with short, tousled, dark hair, had never looked happier or more beautiful. Life with Jackson, the head chef at one of the local restaurants, was obviously agreeing with her. You're testy this morning, she observed. God, I'm sorry. It's this hangover. The relentless drumming in my head won't allow for warmth and graciousness. She drank some more coffee. You want me to go? Kate looked at her, eyebrows raised. No, no, stay. I want you to stay. They sat for a while, propped on pillows, letting the caffeine seep into them. After a while, the Tylenol started to kick in and Jen began to feel marginally better. Kind of an adjustment for you, Kate ventured, having Jackson move in. Yeah, Jen said miserably. Kate reached out and rubbed Jen's upper arm with her hand. I'm sorry if it's hard. Jen shrugged. It's not your fault. What were you supposed to do, stay lonely and unhappy for my sake? It's ridiculous. I'm being ridiculous. And I love Jackson. I do. And I'm happy for you. It's just... I know, Kate reassured her. Listen, sweetie, Kate said after a while. I've got to go upstairs and get dressed for work. You going to be okay today? Seems like you really drank a lot last night. You've got to be... At that moment, Jen turned faintly green, put down her mug, dashed into the bathroom, and hurled into the toilet. Okay then, Kate said. I'm gonna go now. Why did she drink so much? Why hadn't she just stuck with a glass of wine or two? Stupid, stupid, stupid. She wasn't a 21-year-old having a kegger in the dorms, for God's sake. That part of her life was over, and good riddance. She berated herself as she pushed through the fog in her head to unlock the gallery and go inside. The Porter Gallery, just down Main Street from Kate's bookstore, was bigger than many of the storefronts in this part of town, though that wasn't to say it was big. The main part of the gallery consisted of two fair-sized rooms, and she had a small office and storage space in the back. When she'd originally acquired the space, it had been a clothing boutique. She'd stripped it down to its bones until now it was all sleek white walls and gleaming honey-colored wood floors. Flipping on the lights, she surveyed her business with a sigh. Some of the artwork on display was quite good. She had some abstract expressionist paintings from a young artist she thought had a promising future, and she had a beautiful display of art glass by Jackson's friend, Daniel Reed. But she also had a large number of the watercolor seascapes she considered to be more souvenir than fine art. The watercolors were the kind of thing that would prevent her from being taken seriously in cities like New York or Los Angeles. Breaking waves at sunset wouldn't get you a reputation as a savvy dealer. But this was Cambria, and the seascape sold. She could advocate for serious art all day long, but in the end, she had to pay the rent. The rent had been the motivating factor that had persuaded her to stock a display of ceramics and handmade jewelry as well. The pieces were lovely, and they sold well, but they were crafts, not fine art. She'd adapted to the realities of the art world in a tourist town, but not without some reluctance. Because of the hangover, and the fact that she'd overslept, she was opening the gallery a little late today. It was 10:25 by the time she flipped the sign on her door to open. Sure, one of the benefits of having her own place was that she could open whenever she wanted, but arriving late was just a bad business practice. She was dressed in a close-fitting, sleeveless black sheath dress and black pumps with 3-inch heels, her curly red hair pulled up into a chignon with a few stray curls dangling beside her face. The look was standard New York. Here in Cambria, the shop owners were more likely to wear a flowing, hand-woven shawl or a maxi dress with a painted silk scarf. But Jen had never been quite ready to go native. She'd been a New York girl once, and she planned to be one again. It was best to act like it, so the transition would be easier when it was finally time to go home.